He has a big church out there. He has a series called Kings and Priests. Neiman, N-E-I-M-A-N, I think. Charles Neiman. He's online. And he does a series on kings and priests. And he was saying how that kings, God calls kings in the church that for the provision of the ministry, for the priesthood. That was a different aspect of the kings and priesthood, how they work together. But I'm coming out from a little bit different. The fact that I think he's talking more about the authority of the kings that we have as kings. But anyhow, as a whole, you can go online. It was a good series. What we're really talking about here today, and we were winding up here last session, is sense knowledge versus revelation knowledge. Amen? Sense knowledge. You know what sense knowledge is? What you feel, hear, taste, touch, or smell, that sense realm. We have to live somewhat by that, but that doesn't control what I believe, because I live with a higher realm of knowledge. It's called revelation knowledge. The Holy Spirit reveals to us things about life. And Matthew 16 again, let's go to Matthew 16. I want to talk to you here as we wind us up today about why that God has ordained such thing called the church. I'm a church person. I believe in church. Amen. You know, there are some Christians say, we don't need church. I got the Bible and the Holy Spirit. No, you need church. You need connection with other believers. You need the encouragement, if nothing else. Amen. I look forward to getting together with the body of Christ to get charged up. And to, you know, it reaffirms my faith many times. We see and hear what God's doing in other people's lives. What did I say? Matthew 16, 15. Okay. Question again was, who do people say that Jesus is? And he said, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, aren't you glad that Peter's not the rock? Because, you know, a few verses later, he's denying Jesus already, you know. No, the rock is there. He's talking about the revelation of who the Christ is, who Jesus was. That's what he's building his church upon. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In cities in biblical days, they had a place they called the gates where the authorities of the city would meet. And they rule the city, basically. Well, Satan comes against the authorities. And there's gates of hell, evidently, that he gets his meetings together and makes plans. We know the Bible talks about schemes and plans of the devil. He plans. He tries to set you up, doesn't he? Huh? Yeah, he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That implies to me he just can't devour at his will, and that's good news to me. Aren't you glad the devil just can't do anything he wants to you? He has to find an avenue to get into your life. And primarily, he uses our words against us pretty much. That's his main avenue, is sin in our life. So, but the gates of hell shall not prevail against what? The church. And that's good news. Then he says, I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Or again, what we declare right or wrong. How's that? Or against the law. So it's our ministry as the church, as the body of Christ, to come together and to, you know, Paul writing in the book of Corinthians says that you be of one mind and one opinion. Well, I don't know. That's hard to get a bunch of people together, be of one mind and one opinion. But when it comes to things of the Spirit, we should be of one mind and one opinion. And I tell people, I told people in the church I pastor, if you don't agree with me, I'd rather you go somewhere else. If you can't agree with the word that I preach, you know, I don't want you here saying, well, that pastor don't know what he's talking about and causing division. You know, that's not good. God wants us to be of one mind and one opinion. Like I said, it's hard to find two people that way. But anyhow, that's his plan, because this church that he's going to raise up, that he has raised up already, is going to come against the gates of hell. And we're going to stop what the devil's been trying to do to this planet Earth and humanity. Amen? And again, we need to have that revelation of who the Christ is, that rock. And the rock is of many pieces compressed together, and you need to get it, amen. But as we know about faith, faith gives substance to the things we don't feel, hear, taste, touch, or smell. And faith acts on what is believed. And actually, you study the word faith, it's a noun, not a verb. Amen. It's the subject of that sentence. Faith. It's taking God at His word, believing it's true, and then repeating it. Mark 9, let's go to Mark 9. Let's look at a couple of verses here. Mark, the 9th chapter. Here's where the disciples were asked to cast out some evil spirits. Start here in verse 17. One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. I like to play with words. There's a lot of people who have a dumb spirit. But we know he's not talking about that kind of dumbness here. Again, he's talking about he could speak. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. He answered and said unto him, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him and fell on the ground and wallowing, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? He said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Yes. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, if thou can what? Believe. Yes. All things are possible to him that believeth. I like that verse. If we can believe. Now, that's the struggle for most people, getting to the place where they believe. Because we have so much doubt and unbelief around us all the time. Like I said, if you just watch television for a couple hours in the evening, every commercial is a drug commercial that tells you what disease you have. And we were joking about it at lunch there the other day. You know, I'd rather have the disease than the symptoms it's going to cause you. Side effects, yeah. You're probably better off. But if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. At least he was honest, hallelujah. That's what God asked for us, from us. You know, say, help my unbelief. Now, it's, you know, there's one thing between, difference between doubt and unbelief. Unbelief is where you're choosing not to believe. And this father, he wanted to choose to believe. Where doubt is, you're just questioning God. That's a whole different ball game. We don't question God. He understands if you don't believe because maybe you weren't taught right. You weren't. So he says, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the spirit, saying, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out in of him and enter him no more. And the spirit cried out and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, as much as many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? He said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, I've heard people preach that, you know, that you got to be praying and fasting before you can cast out devils. And I don't believe that's necessarily true. It's good to live a fasted life and a prayerful life. But he's really talking about this kind of faith that will come out of your mouth comes by fasting and praying. Amen? A lifestyle of fasting and praying. And then when you're in that situation, that kind of faith that you need to cast out the devil will come out of your mouth. And I believe that's what Jesus was saying to his disciples. Amen. You can take that or leave it. But their faith wasn't strong enough, evidently. And the man, again, had some unbelief, but he wound up being a believer that day. Again, it's for us to do that. Let's go to John 16 again, and I want to show you something here too as we wrap this up here. I'm going to get to my main point here in a few minutes. Be patient with me. I see it on my outline. John 16 and verse Acts 23 and 24. Then we'll go down to verse 26. And in that day, talking about this new covenant day we live, amen? Ye shall ask me nothing. Let's stop and think about that. There's a lot of people pray to Jesus. They ask Jesus to do this and Jesus to do that. Now, what's he say? In that day, in that time you're living in, this day, this new covenant, don't ask me anything. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father, in my name, he will give it to you. He will do it. The Father God will give it to us.
Yes.
Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall speak no more unto you Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day, again, talking about this new covenant day, ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father, this is the key here, verse 27, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. So why is the Father going to answer our prayers? Because he loves us. Because we love Jesus.
Yes.
In fact, in the 17th chapter, Jesus is praying for us, and he's praying that we'd have a revelation that the Father loves us as much as he loved Jesus. That's a you get that revelation down. You won't struggle believing God for healing or anything anymore because you know that he loves you. He wants you healed. He's not a God up there with a big rod trying to kill you and take you out. Amen?
That's right.
He's a good, good God. Amen. But in that day, we're living in that day. Lord, again, I hear so many people praying to Jesus. I believe it's all right to talk to Jesus. I talk to him and talk to the Holy Spirit. But if I'm asking for things, I ask the Father in his name. I believe it's his rule book. That's his sovereignty. He's just said, this is the way we do it. You can take that or leave it. I'm going to go away the way of the word. I want my prayers answered, so I'm joyful. Amen? All right. Now I go to Ephesians chapter 3. Here's what I wanted to get to. I'm a New Testament addict. Brother here's an Old Testament addict. He knows the Old Testament like I know the New. No,
we're in the same spirit.
We are. Here we are. Hey, we should be addicted to the Word. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 3. Again, Paul was praying that people would have a revelation of our inheritance. And this is part of his prayer here for the church. He says in verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, God had an intention for the church, and that was to make known to these principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. It's our honor, Psalm says, to do this, to let them know who's in charge, amen, who is the King of Kings now, and who is the Lord of Lords, and who is to get the glory. And you and I as believers, as the church, I think, you know, you can pray by yourself, but it's nice if two or three are gathered together in his name, he says. He said, I'm in that midst. I've experienced more of God's presence in a church service than I have in my own individual getting away by myself to see God. Why? Because he says, where two or three are gathered, I'll be there.
Yes.
Amen? I'm just going by what the Word says. And we call that gathering the church. And he says, that's why we're not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together as a man or some is. Yeah, don't make it a habit not to go to church. I could count on both of my hands, and I'm 72, how many times I may have missed church on a Sunday in my whole life. When I was in the Army, I missed a couple. And it wasn't too good. The services were too inspiring. And I was sort of backslidden while I was in there too, so that didn't help. You know, when you're backslidden, you don't want to go to church. You hear an amen? Then I'll see people at church, I think, hey, they're having some issues, you know, and they're not dealing with their sin in their life. But God wants us to declare to these unseen powers his manifold wisdom. What is the wisdom of God? It's the ability to take the word of God and to use it skillfully as a sword of the Spirit. You know, you can have a bunch of knowledge, but if you don't have wisdom, you can't use that knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. Are you with me? There's a lot of people have a lot of knowledge, information, but they can't put it together to use it to bring something practical out of it. And wisdom will bring you that together, and you can use the word as a sword of the Spirit and get the job done. And I like it when churches can get together of one accord and one spirit and pray for situations. You know, we in our church, we've been praying for the coming election. You know, I know God's will is going to be done. I'm praying that we leadership changes in our nation. We need a good man who's has a good record. Of, you know, you can say what you want about Mr. Trump, but, you know, I know people that have known him, and they said that he gave his life to the Lord years ago. And he's a baby Christian, you know, he did a lot for the church. He did away with the Johnson rule. You know the Johnson rule? Gives us more freedom to speak about things in a public service. Yeah, he's for the church. He's against abortion. He stands for things in the Bible that are godly. That's why I support it. You know, it's the platform. Are you with me? I'm going to be bolder this year, even on Facebook. I'm going to make some enemies. I people seem to put stuff on. Come on, man, wake up. Yeah, we're the church. We're supposed to be resisting what the devil's doing. Now, I want us to go to 2 Thessalonians, and this is my last verse I have here, and we'll talk about this here. 2 Thessalonians. And they're questioning about the Antichrist, the end times, what's going to go on. And I'll just say this right now. I believe that we're not appointed unto the wrath of God. I don't believe we're going to go through tribulation. I believe there's a time of 7 years. According to Daniel's prophecies, the 7th week that Israel owes God because of their disobedience, I believe that we're not appointed to that. There are scriptures that says we're not appointed unto his wrath. It's going to be a time he's going to make judgments against the rebellious Israel. And I want to be in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. I believe there's going to be a sounding of the trumpet here soon. We're getting to that period of time. Things are really coming together. But there's something holding that end time thing back. There's something holding back Jesus coming back. And we see this in this verse. Paul's writing here to get, because they thought Jesus was coming back then, 2,000 years ago. He even called it the last days then. So if it's the last days then, it's really the last days now. We're at the end of the last days. But I do believe in a rapture. I know that's people challenge that. And I see the word caught up in the scripture. It means raptured. Yeah, I had a guy come to my church and go straighten me out with my theology one time. I just let him do his spew. And he felt God was calling him to go to all the churches and tell him this rapture doctrine's wrong. And you know, it came up by some woman. And God gives revelations to women. Can I understand? Amen. It was a revelation. Anyhow, I don't want to teach you on the rapture here, but I believe in. I'm. You know, if you don't want to go, just stay here. According to your faith, be it unto you. How's that? I'm believing there's going to be a catching up of the saints. I'm ready to hear the sound of the trumpet. I believe we're getting real close. In verse 6, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Talking about this Antichrist spirit, actually. The Antichrist spirit has been around, you know, for thousands of years. Antichrist means against the anointed. Anti means against anointed. And there's an Antichrist spirit that's in the world. First John talked about it. It's in the world. It's against God, against the believers, against Christians, the anointed ones. And But there's going to be an end time thing where that a person is going to allow the devil to possess him, and he's going to, according to, you know, Revelation and other scriptures, that's a whole, I'm not an end time teacher, but I have a general idea what's going to happen. And he's going to fill this man, and he's going to have a one world government. And that's what we see even right now trying to happen with the globalism as trying to do. And that's why a lot of these people don't like Trump, because he's not a globalist. And I believe you can take that or leave it, but there's, if you get into the other side of the aisle, they're very globalistic. They want a one world government. Amen. And but it says there's something holding back. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now there's questions what that he is there, and I believe it's in reference to the church. You know, we are one with Jesus. We are the body of Christ. We are him in that sense. And we are a force that is holding back the spirit of Antichrist. Verse 8, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after is working with Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, etc., etc. But I believe the church is responsible is to hold back that Antichrist spirit. How do we do that? Through our prayers, through our taking authority over what the devil's doing, through voting.
Yes, amen.
In our nation, we need to vote for righteous people, godly people. Amen? And it's our responsibility. And if we want Jesus to come back, we need to keep putting pressure against that Antichrist, because eventually, God's going to say, I got to take them out of the way so his word can be fulfilled. And the Antichrist can come on the scene, do his thing, wind the whole situation up, and we can just go into eternity. So the more we resist the devil, the sooner we'll bring Jesus back.
Yes.
Amen. There's another verse in the book of Peter talks about about us living holy lives and how it'll hasten the day.
Yes.
So as we live more holy, separated lives unto God and doing what God has called us to do, and that is to be his policeman on this earth, he'll take us out of the way. Then the wicked man shall be revealed. People say, who's the Antichrist? I don't even care who it is. I have some ideas, but it doesn't matter. When I was younger in Christ, we thought that Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist. I remember that was going around the church. You know, they took the letters of his name and it all equals 666. I don't know. You can get into crazy stuff when it comes to end time stuff. People say, how do you believe it's going to work out? I said, it's all going to pan out. Hallelujah. Are you post or pre? I'm paying. It's all going to pan out. And I'm going to be on the other side. And God's in charge. But he's not appointing me to the wrath. So we need to, again, take our place and become the mature bride, the mature church. When that which is perfect has come, that's the church, that when we start taking our authority, acting it out, getting together and praying against these things and stopping the enemy in our neighborhoods and what have you, that Antichrist spirit. And Father, look to Jesus. You know, it says that the Father's the only one that knows when it's time. Remember Jesus said, no man knows the hour or the time. So if someone gives you a day or hour, just say, hey, forget it, you don't know. Even Jesus doesn't know. You know, and if Jesus knew, he'd tell us, because he can't keep a good secret.
That's true.
He's revealed to us some of the mystery. Are you with me? But he doesn't know. And we'll get out of here, and we'll go into eternity. And come back with Jesus to rule and reign in this earth for 1,000 years. It'll be a great time. Hallelujah. And really, our kingship and our rulership will be defined by how we serve him in this life. Amen? That's where the rewards will be handed out and your positions. So be faithful now in what God's called you to do. He'll give you greater things in those days. Amen. And we have a great future. You don't have to be afraid. If you're afraid of dying, you don't know who you are in Christ. I'm already dead. You can't kill a dead man. Amen. I'm just going to change dimensions, hallelujah, at some point. Amen. Any questions or comments here, what we shared the last couple of days here? Something that was that hit you, something that a little revelation you may have gotten? Something maybe that seals something in your heart? Yes, brother. Yeah. By grace we're saved, not by what we do.
That doesn't make sense, but I grabbed on to
that. Yeah. He does love us. Yeah. No question about that. Good. Anybody else? Yes. No, I don't see that in the scripture. Satan chose to rebel. He wasn't tempted. Like, we're tempted to sin. He wasn't tempted. He made that decision. And let me just say one more thing about him going to hell. In Isaiah 53:9, I think you mentioned about it. There's a word, in his death. In the Hebrew, it's plural word there. In his grave. One of the words is plural. So, I believe Jesus died physically and spiritually in the sense he was separated from the Father and went to that place. So a little more, if someone wants to argue with you, there's another verse for you. I don't argue the word. I used to have sword battles with people. That didn't work out too well. I want to say, if you believe what you believe, I'll believe what I believe. Let me alone. Yeah, you want to say?
I wondered whether you could comment on, even though the source material is vast,
right.
Was the picture of Melchizedek being the high priest, mm-hmm. and the king of Salem. And if your thoughts at all, if you have insight, you might want to share. This is an absolute book of Genesis.
Yeah, Jesus is after the same order as Melchizedek. Didn't have a beginning, didn't have an end,
right.
In a sense. Like Jesus came out of heaven. So, and that was Abraham paid his tithes unto Melchizedek.
Yes.
And we have a high priest of these days. And in fact, Deuteronomy 26 says you should go to the priest of those days. We still have a high priest. It's Jesus. And the high priest in the Old Testament, he received the tithes and offerings of the people. Today, in Hebrews 7, says, there he that liveth receiveth them. Jesus takes our tithes and offerings before the Father. So this is still going on. It's still happening. I don't know if I answered your question or not.
Yeah. Being a king.
Yeah, yeah.
Melchizedek, Abraham,
it,
bowed to him.
Actually, I think
he
was the king of Salem, right?
Yes.
The king of Salem,
peace.
Which means peace. He's the king of peace. Amen.
If you want peace, then.
Yeah, and pay your tithes. I know tithing works, that's all I can say.
Yes.
You know, when COVID came, you know, our tithes and offering in our church really dropped because people weren't coming. You know, we were doing internet stuff, but people weren't coming like they were. And my wife and I, we decided to double our tithes that year. And we've been just reaping from that. I tell you, it's amazing what God will do when you trust in Him and when it comes to your finances. And we've been so blessed. We've been retired, and we have some savings and stuff. We haven't even touched it yet, the 2.5 years. Just blessings keep overtaking us. And I believe it's from that 2 years there, we gave almost 50% of our income away to the kingdom.
Amen.
It works. I mean, get a word of God from that first, and make sure your wife and her husband's agree with you. But we can see any divorces here. But the word of God works. I know he's a faithful high priest. Amen. But anything else that caught your attention here? You didn't get anything out of this? No.
The whole idea of submission to authority allows you to exercise authority.
Yeah, your submission to authority. There's, like I said, we didn't really spend a whole lot of time in that.
Sure.
But it's there when you're talking about submission and honoring. That whole thing's a good thing we need to be taught in America.
Yeah.
And submission, you know. Well, I ain't submitting to nobody. I'm independent. Yeah. Yes, you're out there by yourself, in other words. I want to be hooked up to the body of Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, Israel was leaving Egypt. It's the enemy attacked the stragglers. Stay with the body. Stay with the church, man. Especially nowadays, we're coming into who knows how far this will go until we're taken out of the way. But we can be successful because we're living in the land of Goshen. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We're not under that wrath. Amen. Anybody else? I'm pretty good with my time wise here.
Yeah.
I used to do a lot of prison ministry, so you know, you get into prison, they have a time, you're done, this time you're out. You know, you didn't go longer than the anointing wanted you to go. You're done when they said you're done. So, and I used to be on the radio all the time. I knew time, and I'm pretty good managing my time when I preach. I can look at my outline and sort of tell how much time it's going to take me to get through that. But, and of course, I've been doing this for 40, 50, almost 45, 60, 46 years now. So, well, Brother Shane, we'll give them back to you. I thank you that I was invited, and you guys have received me, and I feel I unloaded what the Lord has given me, I've given to you, so... You're on your own now. Take it. You're going to take it and let it work in you. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Brother Dave, for being here, sharing the word with us. So this will kind of conclude.